The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, from a very echoey podcast room this week, and I'm joined as ever by Matt Turner. Matt Turner, this is a momentous podcast, and would you like to know why this is perhaps a one-of-a-kind podcast?
Because of the almost 4 years of this podcast existence, this will be the only one that we have no shows to talk about. Will that be the reason why?
That is 100% the reason why we have released. This is episode, just for people to sort of keep note of, 178, which I think is quite the run for this podcast. But 178 episodes, and with the exception of the gap with the pandemic, I don't think there has been a single week where we haven't reviewed any shows at all.
Yeah, this is it, buddy. This is it. In case anybody's wondering why, is because the two shows that happened on, Monday and Tuesday are not up on Stardom World yet, and we did do our review of All-Star Grand Queendom, a live stream review, which is on our YouTube channel and the podcast feed, the podcast catcher of your choice. So that's all up there. So this might be, Rob, this might be the shortest episode, the shortest weekly episode we've ever done. So I know we get flack sometimes when we go under 2 hours. So if you want to get your, if you do want to get your Stardom Cast fixed, if you have not gotten enough of myself and Rob, go back and just a few days ago, and you can listen to our darn near 3 hour podcast, our review of All-Star Grand Queendom. So yeah, it's going to be a fun show, my friend. We'll keep it entertaining regardless.
I will just point out that we somehow managed to go exactly 3 hours without with only one show to look at. So we're cutting it finer today, as we only have some news to talk about. But other than that, other than the world of Stardom, other than the world of wrestling, Matt, the question on every Stardom Cast listener's lips is, how was the church dance?
The church dance was fun. I was there, first of all. I did not wear my Saya Kamatani shirt to the church dance. I do have to apologize for that. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, I was wearing a Saya Kamatani shirt when we did our review of All-Star Grand Queendom, and Rob dared me to wear my shirt to the church dance. I know. How dare I? I thought I looked lovely, by the way. Anywho, I was there all about 15 or 20 minutes, and it's a BYOB. And I made mention this before at these church dances that happen every 3 to 4 months that my wife puts together. Is majority of the couples there are in their late 60s to like late 80s. Like, you have a lot of couples there that are married 30, 40, 50 years. And it's BYOB. And some of these couples go hard. Like, you'll see on one table, you just have like a nice bottle of wine, and one, you know, may have a couple of beers. And there's some couples that have like hard liquor that are like Captain Morgan, Jack Daniels, Wild Turkey. So some of these people really go all out on the BYOB. So there's one gentleman comes up to me and he's like, hey, I just came back from, and he's retired. Majority of the people there are retired because they're older and, you know, good on them. Said, hey, I just came back from Tennessee and I just got some maple bacon moonshine. Would you like some? I said, yes. Yes, I would. So go to the kitchen and he goes to pour me a hefty shot or two of this bacon whiskey. And he's like, well, hey, he's like, also I got hazelnut, moonshine. Moonshine. So even worse. So it was maple bacon moonshine, which is unbelievable. He's like, well, I also got hazelnut as well. I may as well bring that out. So we're sipping on some really, really good moonshine. And it was very quickly that I couldn't feel my feet, if you know what I mean. But regardless, I was able to drink enough water and eat enough food that I was obviously sober when I drove home. But yeah, it was a fun time, my friend. We didn't win any prizes like we won on the last one. But no, it's a fun time. It's always nice seeing the people that that go to church. It's always nice seeing my wife, who spends 3 or 4 days planning these dances. Well, it's more than 3 or 4 days, but 3 or 4 days, like doing all the decorations, planning the dances, and just everybody coming up to her and congratulating her on what a great job she did. So on the one side, negative side, buddy, no Sai Kamatani shirt. But on the positive side, I had some fantastic maple bacon whiskey from Tennessee. And if any of our listeners live in Tennessee, you folks make a fantastic moonshine.
Maple bacon moonshine. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever heard of anything weirder.
You could have put it on your pancakes. It was that good, Rob.
I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, Matt. This is coming from a country that has dandelion and burdock, which is literally a weed that we've sort of cultivated into a drink. So that's saying something when I say there's nothing as weird as that. However, I'm glad you had a good time. I think it's a crime that you were robbed of any sort of prize or recognition, my friend. I imagine you looked lovely. I apologize. I was saying to Matt just before we came on to record, I apologize if my microphone seems a bit echoey. I've ridded out the podcast room and I've only started realizing as I've been talking that this is incredibly echoey. So you will have to forgive me just for this episode, which does sort of bring me to just a little bit of programming news. Obviously, as the vast majority of you know, and the vast majority will have seen during our All-Star Grand Queendom review, which thank you to everyone that came out and supported us and watched along with us as me and Matt rambled about all sorts of ridiculous things. We all found out that Matt knew the track listing to the Meltier album, which I don't think I've ever been so disappointed in anyone in my entire life. But you will have seen that my room is slowly but surely emptying. We are moving. So just to give you a little bit of a heads up, I won't be on next week's episode. And there's a chance that I won't be on the week afterwards, which is the 8th and the 15th, or it'll be the 10th and the 17th when this releases to the vast majority of you, simply because my internet is obviously being cut off as we move on Friday, and then we can't get an engineer out to the new place until the 15th. So Matt is going to be flying solo. He's going to be doing a couple of the alternate commentaries solo. He's going to be just pounding it on the Stardom Cast Extra as well. So please forgive me. I know I have just released the May Patreon schedule up on Twitter, ironically not on Patreon yet. But we're going to adhere to that as closely as we possibly can. However, if for the next 2 weeks there is a couple of issues with timings and things like that, please note it is because I don't have any internet at all. But yes, otherwise, Matt, I think, why don't you regale the people with what's coming up on Patreon this week?
Absolutely. Our alternate commentary that we released this past week was Sai Kamatani defending the Wonder of Stardom Championship against one Mina Shirakawa. And that was from All-Star Grand Queendom last year. And then next week it'll be up on your Patreon feeds. Momo Watanabe challenging for Mayu Iwatani's World of Stardom Championship in Cork and Hall on the 9th anniversary show. And we just released this past weekend another fantastic conversation with one Allison Danger, the What If episode. We did What If We Booked Manami Toyota in Current Day Stardom, or at least that's what I was trying to do. Allison sent me a message about a day or two before we were supposed to record and said, you know the Stardom stuff way better than I do. And I know a lot of the American stuff better than pretty much just about anybody. Why don't you book Manami Toyota in Stardom and I'll book Manami Toyota and every single major wrestling company over here in the States? So I was like, Allison, if that's what you want to do, that's great. And she came up with some really great stuff. So basically, she booked Manami Toyota in TNA, NXT, AEW, and WWE. And I thought it was really, really good. It's always a fun conversation with Allison. And then Allison booked herself into a shoot. So for the month of May, she literally decided about halfway through, she just kind of just threw something out there. And I said, well, since you're talking about it and you want to do it, we're going to do it. So for our What If episode for the month of May, we are going to be booking Julia in NXT and WWE. So if you can't get enough of Allison, we will get her back again in the month of May for the What If episode. But yeah, we have a lot. That's what's on the Patreon feed now and what's going to be coming up in the next few days. Obviously, buddy, as we record this, this is May 1st. So we may as well go through everything that is on the Patreon, that will be, excuse me, on the Patreon feed coming up in the month of May. And again, Rob did release the schedule as of this recording earlier today, but it might be a little bit different just because with Rob not having internet for 2 weeks. So alternate commentaries we have for the month of May. I just mentioned Mayu Iwatani defending the World of Stardom Championship against Momo Watanabe. We also have Micah defending the World of Stardom Championship against Megan Bain from the Keystone State show, the show WrestleMania weekend that took place inside the ECW arena. Now, I did go back and watch that entire show, but I've not watched this match other than when we were there live. And then also we have from the anniversary show earlier this year, Nagoya Supreme Fight, May Sierra defending the high speed championship against Hazuki and what was an absolute barn burner classic, one of the best high speed championship matches of all time. And then the last match that we're going to be doing was Yuzuki Aikawa versus Nanai Takahashi. Do I have that one right, partner?
You do indeed.
There we go. And then the roundtable discussion is going to be myself, Rob, and Karen Peterson. We're going to be doing a career retrospective of Utami Hayashista and her time in Stardom. We figured it'd be a good time to talk about Utami since her time in Stardom has come to an end, at least for now. Who knows what the future holds? And then the other day, Rob sent me a message and he said, hey, why don't you pick what our non-Stardom match is going to be for our watch-along? And I said, well, since my birthday is in the month of May, I would like nothing more than for myself and Rob to enjoy an adult beverage as we watch from Bloodsport, Josh Barnett taking on Minoru Suzuki. Not only is this my favorite Bloodsport match in the 10-show history of Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, but it's one of my favorite shoot-style matches. I believe this one took place in 2019. I think this was the year that WrestleMania was in New York. So I believe I have that right. So Josh Barnett versus Minoru Suzuki from Bloodsport. And I think we do have some really cool stuff with Andy Hedder next week. We're going to be doing a bonus episode for that $10 tier, that Rossi Vice tier. And this is something that if it goes over well, we'll probably do one a month where myself and Andy, who are tag team wrestlers, we're tag team partners. We're going to be looking at one tag match each month throughout Stardom's history, and we're going to watch it, and we're kind of going to break down the psychology. Now, if you've seen our alternate commentaries before and our watch-along, so the alternate commentaries are me and Rob doing commentary, and the watch-alongs are just two buddies, you know, watching a pro wrestling match and having a good time. Well, this is going to kind of be something we're going to meld in the middle. You know, we're going to be breaking down the psychology, who's doing what, where, and the reason why, to kind of give you a deeper dive into tag team wrestlings. And we're starting off with the Dandy, my friend. We're going to be starting with Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May, Rose Gold, defending the Gods of Stardom Tag Team Championships against Sayori Poi, Seriano, and Natsupoi. So I'm going to be filming with Andy next week. Hopefully that'll be out in your Patreon feeds in a week or two. Then also me and Andy are going to compare and contrast which show we like better, what matches we like the best from All-Star Grand Queendom last year to All-Star Grand Queendom this year. So all that and so much more on the Stardom Cast Patreon.
Yeah, we like to give you money's worth, or we think we give you your money's worth with all the things that we do over on patreon.com/thestardomcast. If you haven't checked it out, you can sign up for as little as $1 a month, and you can get all of these episodes early and ad-free, and as Matt's already gone through, a whole host of other bonus features as well. Thank you so much to Justin Steen, who has gone to our $10 Rossi Vice tier. Thank you to the Saviour as well, and thank you to Lyle for joining our Patreon. And again, none of this happens without your fantastic support, so thank you every single one of you. Now, obviously, we talked about the fact that we had absolutely no shows to talk about. Luckily, there's been a little bit of news that we can talk about. Now, Matt did mention that the shows from Monday the 29th and Tuesday the 30th were not up on Stardom World yet. We're not going to go into the matches because we haven't seen them. We're not going to go through the results because what's the point? However, what we are going to do is we are going to talk a little bit about some of the fallout from those shows. So what I'll do is I will alarm you whenever, or alert you, not alarm you, I will alert you when it's time, and you can skip ahead in that bit of the podcast, just so that if you're waiting for the shows to come up on Stardom World and haven't yet had it spoiled for you on Twitter, then you can skip ahead and keep yourself spoiler-free till they've arrived on Stardom World. However, something that did happen and did air was Marigold, who did a short impromptu press conference on Wrestle Universe on the 30th of April, that aired about 6 a.m. I think British Standard Time, which was, I believe, Matt, about 1 a.m. your time. And basically, there was a couple of things to come out of that. The first being that the wrestlers that left from Act Res, and just to remind you, that is Natsumi Shozuki, Misa Matsui, Miko Aono, Chika Goto, Chiaka, and Kuki as well. They are now officially roster members of Marigold. Also, Kuki, or Kauki, I'm hoping to be able to get that right before the Marigold Standard starts. She will now be going by the name Kauki Amari in Marigold. Now, what else came out of the press conference was that the Marigold wrestlers will now have uniform numbers. So each member of the roster, including Fuka, is going to have their own number on their tracksuits when they are at ringside and things like that. And they can also, I believe the wording was, they can stylize it and sort of make it their own a little bit as well. When asked what the point really of the numbers on the back of all of the uniforms was, Rossi announced that it was, you know, it works really well in baseball and things like that. And I must admit, he has got a point there, especially if you're looking at merch options. You look, for example, at the Queen's Quest baseball shirts. They were a huge seller. You look at the United Empire football shirts as well. You know, sporting stuff like that sells really, really well. And if you can get Stardom tracksuit, a Marigold tracksuit with your favorite person's number on there, then obviously they are going to sell as well. The numbers are as follows. So number one is going to be Victoria Yuzuki. 3 is Utami Hayashishita. 7 is Nanai Takahashi, obviously. 8 is Mei Sakurai. 9 is Kuki Amari. 10 is Julia, 11 is Fuka, 17 is Mirai, 28 is Natsumi Shozuki, 33 is Misa Matsui, 39 is Mika Aono, 51 is Chika Goto, 70 is now Nao Ishikawa, and 89 is Shiaki. Matt, what is your opinion on the whole numbers and jersey numbers on tracksuits and things like that when it comes to pro wrestling? What are your thoughts?
I think it separates everybody. I mean, obviously, there's no factions, so you're not going to have, like, Queen's Quest has, you know, Momo and Queen's Quest was blue and Utami was red and Uzumi was purple and so on and so forth, because we're just getting started. And it's something different. And it's something you can identify with, you know, for somebody who's watched, you know, all of his life, a lot of sports, whether it be baseball, whether it be American football, whether it would be basketball. And, you know, back in my high school and college days, I would collect certain jerseys, like the Michael Jordan 23s. And then when Jordan came back in 95, you know, all the 45 jerseys. So you can identify that person with that jersey and that number. So I think it's something really cool. And something that I think that they should definitely capitalize as far as merchandise goes, because not only can you have, whether you're doing baseball style jerseys like they did with Queen's Quest, or if you're doing just regular t-shirts, you can do that as well. You can do shorts, you can do tank tops, you can do anything really with that. Just put the Marigold logo on front and then Utami number 3 on the back, or Julia number 10 on the back. So this way you can kind of identify with your favorite wrestler in Marigold very much like you can do. And, you know, whether it's American football, whether it's soccer, whether it's, you know, rugby or whatever, you're basically taking a kin off sports that sell a lot of jerseys. And a lot of these companies and teams and individual players make a lot of money in sports on selling jerseys. And again, it's something you really don't see a lot of the wrestlers doing, whether it's WWE, whether it was, you know, back in the day, WCW, or something in AEW, something completely different that a lot of wrestling companies have not done, and maybe a different avenue of revenue that Marigold can tap into. And the fact that they've come out with this before their first show, I think is just genius. And I think it's a stroke of genius for them to do something like that. And again, it's an individual way for these wrestlers to make more money on the merchandise part.
Yeah, absolutely. It also gives, especially if they are allowed to modify their shirts and sort of customize them, it really does allow them to show that character, especially in the early goings when people may not be as familiar with them at the start. I think, you know, it's something that immediately sets them apart from, as you mentioned, other wrestling companies. And, you know, we're obviously going to make the comparison to Stardom, but, you know, you have your shirt, you have the thing on the front, and that's sort of your go-to in terms of wrestling merch. However, this avenue, it's not really uptaken by anybody else, and I think it's quite immediately, I mean, they're going to sell absolutely boatloads at this first show on the 20th of May. I'd be amazed if they don't sell out of Utami shirts especially. But I like it. It's something a bit different. And, you know, it gives a lot of space for growth with people coming in and things like that. Obviously, I don't know where the Guy Kakuzins that are coming in, Bozilla, Myla Grace and Zayda Steele, I don't know where they stand. They haven't been given numbers yet, but I'm excited. And obviously, on top of that, we've also had 4 rookies announced as well that are currently in training to wrestle with Marigold, which we'll be talking about in a moment. But yeah, as a piece of merch, having the jersey numbers, I quite like it. And plus, it's just cool. It just looks cool. And sometimes it's just okay to like things that look cool. Just another couple of things that came out of this press conference then. The first is that Fuka is now the assistant producer of Marigold. We also had a broadcast schedule for the first 6 shows as well. So as we know, Marigold Fields Forever at Corican Hall on the 20th of May will be live broadcast on Wrestle Universe. The shows from the 26th at Shinkiba First Ring, both the day show and the night show, will also be live broadcast on Wrestle Universe, as will the June 11th show at Corican Hall as well. There will also be the shows from the 1st in Osaka at the 176 Box, and June the 2nd in Act City Hamamatsu. Those won't be live streamed, but they will be available on Wrestle Universe at a different time. Again, Matt, immediately coming out of the gates with live streaming, yes, you know, not every show is live streamed. However, 4 out of 6 is not a bad start. And immediately, this is sort of putting out that marker, if you like, that this is what we're doing, okay? This is the standard. Now you've got to match it. And, you know, we've just talked about, we're doing a podcast now, and we can't talk about 2 shows that are already in the canon happened. You know, we've got a show that happens in 2 days. We've got a show that happens on Saturday, and then a pay-per-view on Sunday. So we're going to have an absolute glut of shows that are on Stardom World all in one go. And it's always been, you know, a bugbear of Stardom fans the way that the shows are uploaded. And I will just reiterate, I've been told the process that they had to go through in order to upload these videos. So I completely understand why it takes so long. However, it is really frustrating. Marigold straight away basically saying, you know that thing that was really frustrating? That's not going to happen here. That's not going to matter here. Look, boom, 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 boom. Especially those first three shows, all live streamed. I love that. And honestly, I think it's fantastic for the company, Matt.
Yeah. Again, right out the get-go, they're basically saying, hey, you know, it's we live in a smaller world now with the internet being what it has been over the last handful of years, is you can literally communicate with somebody across the world in a matter of seconds. I mean, me and you do it all the time with text messages, which still just absolutely, you know, boggles my mind for somebody who grew up in the 80s. So again, we live in a smaller world. We want things instant. We want it now. We want it now. We want it now. And the fact that we have to wait for these Stardom shows or whatever wrestling company that you watch, that isn't a bigger company that you can watch them live, that you're really not gonna have to worry that with Marigold, at least for, like, you know, the first, again, 4 out of 6 shows, everything's going to be live stream. You can watch it as it happens. Or if you're not crazy like me and getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to watch these shows, you can watch them at your own leisure a handful of hours after they come out. So yeah, I mean, right out the get-go, Marigold is really, really setting the bar of what the Marigold standard, see what I did there, really can be and really should be. You know, again, separating themselves with the jerseys, doing these press conferences, selling like 1,500 tickets in Cork and Hall without one official match being announced. You know, the fact that there's a possibility, rumors that they might be working with WWE and, you know, with the two big people that might be coming over for one or two shows a year, being Io and Kairi, who are absolute legends still in their prime, you know, legends that wrestled in the company in Japan. And now you're throwing in that, oh, by the way, you know, you can watch these shows as soon as they happen or as they happen live. So a really good start for the company, considering the fact that they've yet to, you know, have a match yet. They have to have a match. And I don't think the beginning of this company could have gone any better.
No, agreed. And I think, you know, It starts them out on a strong footing. Not only that, they've obviously sold out that first show. Tickets are selling really well for the grand opening Wars Tour as well, which is the name of the tour that they're embarking on afterwards. And again, I do wonder, even with the video on demand, it'll be interesting to see how quickly the show goes up on Wrestle Universe compared to how the show goes up on Stardom World. And we spoke, you know, at length over the last couple of episodes about how Stardom World and New Japan World should just merge onto one platform and it would make everything a lot easier. And I do wonder, especially if they see how Marigold fares in these first, you know, this first month or two, it does make me wonder if Stardom will act and we'll see something perhaps in place for the new year, because it is, you know, and again, this is no one's fault. It's just the way that it has been marketed. Stardom World can be incredibly frustrating, even though it's only $6 a month, when, you know, you're waiting on a show and it's been a week or whatever. However, that being said, we also met the Stardom Rookies. The Stardom Rookies, I'm going to have to get used to this. The Marigold Rookies, I'm sorry. Over the last couple of days, the Marigold Joshi Twitter page has been introducing us to the 4 rookies that will start off in Marigold. So we have Ryoko Sakimura. She was a solo graveyard idol, and she was always part of the idol group Clip Clip, for those that know what that means. We have also got another graveyard, or former graveyard model and idol, sorry, in Nagisa Takibana. The only one of the 4 with any pro wrestling experience is Yuki Minami, who has wrestled 6 matches in Ice Ribbon, having debuted in August 2023. And then finally, a name you might remember. So back at New Blood Premium last year, where Wako Tsukiyama finally got that victory over Nanai Takahashi in one of the feel-good moments of 2023, you will remember that there was supposed to be a rookie that was due to take on Hazuki. That didn't happen, and that trainee never materialized. That trainee has materialized in Marigold. So the last of the 4, Komomo Minami, She is now a member of the Marigold roster, and she did say in her little intro video that she wasn't able to debut before, but she's now starting from scratch and will debut with Marigold. So that's fantastic. And I must admit, Matt, if I was faced with Hazuki in my first match, I think I would quit as well.
Not only that, but she went to a whole other company. It's like, oh, I'm injured. And then she just waited, waited. Like, no, I'm good. I'll go over here. No, we're just kidding. But it is kind of, it does add to the lore, at least in our eyes and hearts, of just the brutality that is one of our favorite wrestlers in all of wrestling, in the wild heart that is Hazuki.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we also had some commentary announcements in terms of the Japanese commentary for Marigold Fields Forever, where it was announced that former and the inaugural Wonder of Stardom champion Yuzuki Aikawa will be on commentary for the show as well, which I think is another huge get for Marigold, because you cannot even now underestimate the popularity of Yuzupon. We also had from Marigold, this was a tweet that came out today. Rossi did an interview with Tokyo Sports. It was actually then translated by the Marigold Joshi Twitter page. And it says, Rossi Ogawa says that Marigold will bring back training camps reminiscent of the All Japan Women's Days. Before Marigold's debut show, training camp will be held to include running in sand on the beach, running while carrying a partner on your shoulders, sparring, and more. I'm really hoping that we get some sort of footage of this, Matt, because I think it could be really cool to really see behind the scenes of that. And we've seen little clips of this from Marigold social medias. We saw Yuzuki give a toast during like their icebreaker meal. We saw, we've seen little bits in the dojo with Julia running a lot of the sessions. But I'd be really intrigued to see these sorts of camps. And it also makes me want to go back and see some footage from the All Japan Women's Days as well.
Yeah, when I first heard that they're going to be doing like the beach training, it reminded me of those videos that came out in the 90s, the Masao and Kawada doing the squats in the sand and then doing the fireman's carries up and down the steps. Yeah, that's very old school dojo training. It's very, if you would hear, used to hear the stories of like Ricky Steamboat and the Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter and Ric Flair when they would train at the Vern Gagne AWA camp. So these wrestlers are going to be in phenomenal, phenomenal shape. These rookies coming out the gate, very much like this current crop of rookies that we have at Stardom. I think really from day one, they're going to be absolutely fantastic, and it's gonna be interesting to see them mix it up with the Utamis, the Julias, and the Mirais. So yeah, they'll definitely be in shape and won't get gassed out from day one, that's for sure, doing the old school dojo training, which I absolutely love, because it just basically goes to show, if you can make it through the training camp, you can pretty much make it through anything. And it's just really your love and passion have these girls shine on through to getting to the main part of the roster.
Yep, agreed. Right, let's move on to some Stardom news. We've talked a lot about Marigold. The one last thing I do just want to say, actually, about Marigold is that we have Wrestle Magic, the Noah pay-per-view, coming up on Sunday, the 5th of May. Don't forget that this will be our first look, our first little preview of the Marigold roster, with Julia Utami, Hayashishita, Mei Sakurai, and Mirai taking on Takumi Iroha, Miyuki Takase, Great Sakuya, and Nagisa Nozaki on the main card. I'm sorry, I've just said it's the 5th. It's May the 4th. It's the Saturday. Star Wars Day. How on earth could I forget that? The full card looks relatively tasty as well. For the Junior Heavyweight Championship, Dagger takes on Alejandro. For the Hardcore Championship, now I didn't realize that they'd reinstated the GHC Hardcore Championship, but apparently they have. And that is pitting Ninja Mac against Shuji Ishikawa. We've then got a Junior Heavyweight Tag Team 3-Way with Yohai and Tadasuke taking on the team of Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf, and the team of Shuji Kondo and a mystery opponent. In your semi-main event, if the run sheet is to be believed, you have got the GHC Tag Championships with the team of Jack Morris and Anthony Green, the champions, in an open challenge. And then in your main event, the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., the champion, defending against Kaito Kiyomiya. So I'm quite looking forward to this show, Matt, even if it needs to be purchased additionally to Wrestle Universe, your ordinary subscription, which I know a few people were displeased about.
So in order to watch this Marigold match, you have to purchase Wrestle Universe and then purchase an additional pay-per-view?
Yes. When you say it like that, it admittedly doesn't sound great.
Yeah. Considering the fact that none of this card to me really... I mean, the main event should be good. Okay, if that's what they're trying to do. But again, your new wrestling... I know this is probably more on Wrestle Universe and Pro Wrestling Noah, but the fact that if you're new to Marigold, you're new to Wrestle Universe, if you want to watch the first match, you have to purchase two different subscription services. Not subscription services, but you have to have two different price points to watch one match. Because I know there is a lot of the Stardom fan base that is going to be doing exactly what we're doing, and that's going to be supporting both groups. And in order to support both groups on the very first match, you have to do two different purchases. And that may not be ideal, my friend. That might not be ideal. But regardless, I'm sure the match will be great.
Yeah, I imagine Marigold had little to no say in this whatsoever. This seems to me a Pro Wrestling Noah thing. Yes, I agree that it's not ideal to have to purchase the subscription and then additionally purchase the pay-per-view. However, you know, from looking at it from a positive standpoint, you have got these four women looking to bring people to your brand new company, and you're doing it at Ryogoku Kokugikan. You know, you're doing it in the famed hall of Sumo Hall. So, yes, you can put a price on that, apparently. It's a pay-per-view price, but I still think to get a match on this card is really good work from Rossi. It's really quite sly work to manage to get onto this big pay-per-view at Ryogoku and really advertise your own promotion in, I'll be perfectly honest, one of the better matches, or at least what sound like one of the better matches on that card. Because like you say, I'm a big fan of the main event. I think the main event will be great. But other than that, I can't honestly say I'm looking forward to anything aside from that Marigold exhibition match, which again is going to deliver hype towards that company, especially when you consider that Utami, Julia and Mariah especially are going to throw absolutely everything into this. And then when you look on the other side, Takumi Iroha is one of the best Joshi of the last 10 years. So I'm excited for that match. Yes, I'm not overly excited about having to purchase the pay-per-view. However, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, it's just one of those things, and that's how wrestling seems to be going. I mean, it looks like it's going that way with New Japan World, where you purchase a price and then other pay-per-views on top of that. We saw it with Windy City Riot, for example. Not ideal, but I imagine the match is going to be excellent. And obviously, you know, depending on your outlook, it might make up for the price. It might not. We'll have to wait and see.
Don't get ahead of yourself, buddy. We're talking about this match, these great competitors. What about Sakurai's hat? I mean, come on. That's what the people want to know. They want to know what, I mean, again, you know, we're helping Marigold out with certain things. Let's get people to purchase this pay-per-view. We talked about how great this match is with Iroha on the one side and Julia and Utami teaming up. Well, let's talk about May Sakurai's hat. Let's speculate, buddy. What do you think is going to be on it? Is it going to be rhinestones? Is it going to glow? Is it going to be like Naomi's gear where it blinks? what do you think is going to go on with this hat? Because this is a big deal. It's a big deal.
I imagine you will have some sort of stuffed animal on there, but it won't be like your run-of-the-mill animal, I reckon. So it's going to be an extravagant hat. We know this is your Marigold opening salvo. This is your introduction to the company. So it's got to be big. It's going to be yellow, obviously, because it's Marigold. But I can just imagine this enormous hat that, in fact, do you know what? We're going to go bigger. I think it's going to be a hat. Wait, May Sakurai's going to come out, but then she's got two men either side holding this hat in place because of the sheer volume, sheer size of it. And I think she's going to have to duck to get through the doors. And I think around it is just going to be coiled a tiger. That's what I'm thinking. Like a full-size tiger as well. I think it could work. I think it's just extravagant enough. Just.
You know what I think it should be?
Go for it. Tell me.
Now, I don't know. I know I'm a few years older than you in a different country. Did you guys ever have Inspector Gadget?
We did have Inspector Gadget, yes.
Now, if you remember, he would press a button. Out of his hat would come propellers, and he can fly around. How awesome would it be if she did like the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 12 entrance with the propellers coming out of her hat? We just started to fly around the sumo hall. I think that, right? Come on. That sells itself.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, oh, just imagine the pop. I think people would turn the pay-per-view off afterwards because it'd just be a case of like, how can anyone top that? And rightly so, because let's be perfectly honest, it's only going to be downhill from there. Let's talk then about Stardom. Unfortunately, it was announced that Saki Kashima, will miss the shows on the 29th and the 30th. She did miss them, unless I'm very much mistaken. Just let me have a quick look. She is announced. Good. She is announced for the remaining cards of the week. Of course, card subject to change. I did reach out to Stardom just to see if there was a time frame on it. They did reply saying there wasn't a time frame on it, but it didn't look too serious, basically. So that's really good because I was very, very concerned. However, she is back in action from the show on Friday in Yamaguchi, where she'll be teaming with Shiori Konami against Zena Wakatsukiyama and Rian. So a little bit of positive news heading into this weekend's absolute glut of shows. Sai Kamatani and Ron Yagami, as we reported a couple of weeks ago, will be competing in Pro Wrestling Wave's Catch the Wave tournament. That begins on the 5th of May. If you want the full blocks, Catch the Wave did release them today. However, those two people, Sai Kamatani and Ron Yagami, their competitors or their opponents are as follows. So in A block, you've got Sai Kamatani, Risa Serra, which I think is a very interesting matchup. Yuko Sakurai, who Stardom fans will be familiar with as part of Lollipop from the inaugural Triangle Derby. And then Nanami, who again, you may be familiar with from the New Blood shows. And then in B block, you have got Rani Yagami, Riara, Chichi, and Mizuki Kato. Now, I don't know a great deal. In fact, that's a lie. I don't know anything about Riara, Chichi, or Mizuki Kato. However, Sai Kamatani's block, Risa Seira, Yuko Sakurai, and Nanami, I'm very excited by those three potential matchups, Matt.
Yeah, there should be some really, really fun stuff in there. It's really, I'm kind of wondering what Stardom's doing letting Sai Kamatani in the Catch the Wave tournament. Like, she's a big, big star for them, and the fact that she's the high-speed champion, you know, it's really weird that she's going into this tournament, considering the fact that she was out a great deal of time with an injury. So my guess is they're going to have some sort of working relationship with Wave. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it's going to give – the one good thing is getting Rana Yagami a lot more reps with different talent, considering the fact she's only been wrestling, what, like 6 or 7 months?
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's the same sort of thing we talked about with Hanako going to Taiwan with New Japan. It's the same thing that we talked about in regards to Miyu Amasaki, which we're going to be talking about in a moment. I think giving your less experienced wrestlers or wrestlers that you wouldn't necessarily ordinarily send, giving them the chance to go and experience other types of wrestling in other countries or with other companies, I think is only a positive. Sai Kamatani is obviously a big star. I think she does well. I don't think she wins it, but I think she does well. Rani Yagami will be there for experience. I do anticipate her getting 0 points, but I imagine that what she learns will be important as well. And also, it's an exposing her name to a new fan base as well, because I imagine people will be familiar with Sai Kamatani, obviously Wonder of Stardom champion, record-breaking Wonder of Stardom champion, now high-speed champion, Rani Yagami, rookie, right at the start of a journey. I believe that people will watch her and be really, really intrigued by what is going on with her. In regard, now, Matt, I did say about the thing with Miyu Amasaki, and obviously that is that she will be participating in the All Together United Japan Pro Wrestling Inauguration and Noto Earthquake Benefit event otherwise known as All Together for short. That is on Monday, the 6th of May, 2024, at the Nippon Budokan. The full card has been announced for that show, but the match that obviously we are most bothered about is match 3. Natsupoi and Starlight Kid versus O2 Line, Miyu Amasaki and Azumi. Again, huge for these four wrestlers to be wrestling at Budokan. Again, I believe Miyu Amasaki is the only one who hasn't done it before. And I think it's really a fantastic opportunity for Miyu to perform on a big stage. We've talked a lot about Chuck Norris on this podcast and about how he's still able to kick more butt than an FWC versus Crazy Star title match well into his 80s. Even more shocking than that is that he looks even more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. Well, it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has more 5-star reviews than Dave Meltzer could ever dream of. Since I started drinking Morning Kick, I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, my body looks leaner, I have energy all day, I just feel younger. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/stardomcast for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy that will make you feel ready to challenge for that high-speed championship, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/stardomcast today. And now, back to today's episode.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
The team of Natsupoi and Starlight Kid suddenly makes a whole host of sense. We reported, we reviewed All-Star Grand Queendom, where we talked about Starlight Kid being ejected forcefully out of the new Aware Tai. And she's been training with Natsupoi. And Matt, I don't know if you've seen any of these videos on Twitter, but honestly, I absolutely howled at Natsupoi trying to just break Starlight Kid, and Starlight Kid doing everything she possibly can to not laugh at her. Have you seen any of these?
Yeah, Natsupoi being very, very Natsupoi to Starlight Kid, which is really, really entertaining. And I know they announced a lot of the cards for these upcoming Golden Week shows, and it's a lot of Natsupoi teaming with Starlight Kid, and it's basically Starlight Kid and some of the different iterations of Cosmic Angels, which makes it for a really interesting team to see Starlight Kid and Natsupoi teaming up, seeing Starlight Kid and Tam Nakano team up. It's going to make things really, really interesting, and it's shaking things up considering the fact that she's going to be going up against some of her former members of Aware Tai. So it's been really cool to see her and Momo Watanabe throw down, and as well as with the Natsuko Tora. But yeah, it really seems like both these companies, Marigold and Stardom, are doing a great job peeling back the curtain a little bit and showing us what is happening at the training centers. Obviously, the Marigold stuff seems a little bit more serious with the squats and running the ropes and doing the timing drills, where Stardom's a little bit more of the comedy with Natsupoi trying to break Starlight Kid's character. And we saw that a handful of months ago with Shuri trying to train Saki Kashima when she first came over to God's Eye. So it's a little bit of a look behind the curtain on what goes on at these dojos. So some really, really fun, entertaining, and interesting stuff.
Speaking of Starlight Kid, actually, just briefly, Matt, I don't know if you've seen the card. I'm not going to go through everything, but there is participation from everyone from New Japan to Noah to Big Japan and apparently everything in between. But there's some really interesting matchups, not least match 4, which is Tomohiro Ishii and Daisuke Sakimoto. Pardon me, versus Masaaki Tamaya and Jeff Cobb, which is the meatiest meat match to ever meet. I'm very, very excited about that. There is a 10-man tag at match five as well that looks interesting. And then your main event is Shota Umino, Kaito Kiyomiya, and then Yuki Ueno from DDT versus Yuya Uemura, Shun Skywalker, and Konosuke Takeshita as well. So that main event could be very tasty as well. But I do thoroughly expect the Stardom Exhibition match to be one of, if not the best match on that card. Keeping with the Starlight Kid theme, and again, not wanting to spoil too much, we know that Starlight Kid was ejected out of a Wedetai following All-Star Grand Queendom. Tam Nakano was the one to come to her aid. On Tuesday, Mayu Iwatani then came to the aid of Starlight Kid and Tam as they were being beaten down by Oedetai. And not only that, but they will be teaming together for the first time in Lord knows how long when Stardom returned to Yamaguchi on Friday the 3rd of May, which is also Mayu's hometown. We're going to go through that card in a moment, but what I thought was interesting about this, not only Mayu going back to Starlight Kid after Starlight Kid famously turned her back on her in 2021, Starlight Kid was lost in a loser must leave unit match back in 2021. Mayu fought through a whole gauntlet of Oedetai in order to get to Starlight Kid. Starlight Kid then opted to stay with Oedetai. And they've sort of been having an on-and-off-again feud ever since. Starlight Kid is still yet to beat Mayu in singles competition, it is worth noting. But that was very interesting. But I found Hazuki's response to this very, very, very intriguing. So she put out on Twitter, "If you choose to be a villain and then get banished, you're pretending to be a tragic heroine. You won't be welcomed back if you come back." Now, I think Hazuki is turning a little bit heel, because not only did she put this out about Starlight Kid, she then buried Kokuma after they were sort of laid out their challenge for the tag title in Fukuoka on Sunday. But I'll get to that in a moment. Matt, do you think Hazuki has a point? Where do you think this whole Mayu, Tam, Starlight Kid triangle is going? And are we seeing Hazuki potentially taking up that Tam role from back in 2019, where she was so protective of Stars in the face of Arisa Hoshiki and not wanting to lose Mayu and all this, that she eventually had to leave? Do we think that that's something that could happen with the Wild Heart?
It's really interesting, the fact that she's not welcoming Starlight Kid into the fold. If you think about it, Starlight Kid made Hazuki's life hell for quite a bit of, pretty much ever since Hazuki came back to the company in 2021. If you remember in 2022, that Black Desire, which is Momo and Starlight Kid, and FWC, Hazuki and Kagama, they traded the tag belts back and forth a few times. And there was a lot of bad blood with Hazuki and pretty much every member of Oedetai. But I believe Starlight Kid was one of the many members of Oedetai that cost Hazuki her shot to go to the finals of the 2022 five-star Grand Prix. Remember, on that final night, she faced Momo Watanabe, and all she had to do was get a win over Momo, and she would have went to the finals. She would have won her block, and she hits the brain buster on Momo, and then the ref gets pulled, and then I think 8 of the 42 members of Oedetai all jumped to Hazuki, and I believe Starlight Kid was one of them. So I like how Hazuki is holding a grudge, but rightfully so. It's like, okay, you want to come, you don't have an island, and now you're trying to have Stars come and save you. But yet, if it was because of what you've done to me, you think that I should forgive you, and I'm not. So it might be something where, does she turn heel? Maybe, maybe not. Is it something that maybe they build up, or she has to build up the trust, and they kind of have a reluctant tag team, very much like Arisa and Tam did back in 2019 with that Dreamshine team, where you just have some really funny stuff. I think that if we do see them kind of a reluctant tag team, Hazuki and Starlight Kid as a tag team, going up against Wingory, going up against Meltier, going up against Crazy Star, I think we could get some really fun and entertaining matches out of them. But the booking of what's going on with Starz right now is really, really interesting, because now you're weaving in stuff with Tam. Again, for those of us that have watched Stardom a long time or that like to deep dive into Stardom's history, before Tam created Cosmic Angels, she was part of Starz back in 2018 and 2019. So things are really interesting, and we still don't know, partner, what is the thing that Tam is whispering into Starlight Kid's ear. And I have a theory, and I text you the theory the other day, so we may as well talk about it now.
Absolutely.
Now, again, obviously I joke that she's plugging Rob's book or plugging our podcast or whatever, yeah, which is, you know, in jest. But something that may, you know, be true, because we're all trying to figure out what she's talking about. When we saw Mayu on Monday, well, we didn't see it because the show didn't air yet, but it was all over social media. She basically made the save for not only Starlight Kid and Tam. It might be something where Tam is telling Starlight Kid, hey, Mayu is leaving for Marigold. She wants you. Let me back up a little bit. Tam and Mayu have been getting along quite well. I mean, they've been in a lot of different tag teams on the same side over the last handful of shows. So it very well could be where Mayu is telling Tam, like, hey, I'm leaving to go to Marigold. I want to make sure Starz is in good hands. The only person that I know that can lead Starz is Starlight Kid. However, I don't know how about going asking her to lead Starz, because we have such bad blood. And maybe this is something that she told Tam in confidence, because considering the fact that two of them are former Red Belt champions, both, you know, main eventers with the company. And maybe that's what Tam is telling Starlight Kid, like, hey, there's clearly cracks in Oedo Tai. There's clearly Oedo Tai is holding you down. You could do more if you leave Oedo Tai and just embrace, I guess, you know, since May the 4th is coming up, embrace your Jedi side and leave the Sith side. See how I did that there? And come and rejoin Starz. And then when Mayu leaves, you'll be the leader of Starz. And they literally can do a copy and paste from 2018, what they did with Momo and Io. If you remember, Momo Watanabe not only defeated Io Shirai to win the Wonder of Stardom championship, Io left to go to WWE, and then Io gave her the reins of Queen's Quest. And they literally can just about do almost the same thing with Starlight Kid and Mayu, with Starlight Kid defeating Mayu to become the IWGP Women's Champion and then becoming the leader of Starz. That could be possibly what Tam is whispering into her ear. I think it has something to do with Mayu. I really, really do, because out of nowhere, Mayu came to the aid this past Monday, and I wish I could have more context. I wish Mimi would have more context to go about it. It was just what we were able to read on Twitter and the pictures that we saw, that she came to the aid of both Tam and Starlight Kid, who were both members of Starz in 2019. So yeah, it's very interesting. And again, the booking, the storyline, and the matchmaking of Stardom is really second to none, you know, over the last handful of shows. And it's really interesting to see where they're going to go with this. It really, really is. So I am all ears and eyes on this one, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm intrigued by the matchup with EXV. But, you know, they've got to fight someone. I wouldn't put them in against Oedo Tai just yet. I know that that's obviously where it is going, but I want to save that. And also, you know, you need to build the steam for Oedo Tai before you get the inevitable Mayu, Starlight, and Tam win. So I think that's important as well. Plus, give this story time to breathe. There is no need to rush it at all. I'm quite enjoying where we're going with this. I think the face turn for Starlight Kid was well done, because it was such a surprise. I like this new Oedo Tai, who seems to be more bothered about, you know, destroying people, which I quite like. There's a clear aim for Oedo Tai as well, as opposed to just reckless chaos, which can become very boring if it's not directed properly. In terms of Hazuki and her turning heel, so she obviously put out her tweet about Starlight Kid, which I thought was very rich for someone who was part of Oedo Tai and then came to Starz, but that's by the by. She then said, Koguma, I saw that in our preliminary tag against Crazy Star, you took the pin. Our tag title match in our hometown of Fukuoka, so I'm hoping you can make up for it there. I was like, whoa, Hazuki, calm down. However, basically, I think it's more just really hyping up her desire to become the first ever three-time Goddess of Stardom champions. They are taking on Crazy Star for those Goddess of Stardom belts on the 5th of May in Fukuoka. That will be a pay-per-view. It will also have another title match on it, which we'll talk about in a moment. Matt, what's going on with Hazuki?
I don't know. What happened to her challenging for the white belt? Remember how we teased at the beginning of the year and then they let it go and they brought it back and then she was like, I got to win the Cinderella to go after Soyano to win the Wonder Belt. I'm like, yes, she's finally going to win the Cinderella tournament. And then she lost the first match to Ruaka. I don't know what they're doing with Hazuki, but it's Hazuki, so I know it'll be entertaining and violent. So
that is a very good point. What I quite like is, in terms of Hazuki, is yes, she's, you know, you might misconstrue her attitude to burying Kagemaru. I don't think that's how it's supposed to come across. It just made me laugh, the wording of it. I think it's more her desire to, to set a record in Stardom. We've never had a three-time tag champion. We've had two-time tag champions, Aphrodite and, of course, FWC. Unfortunately, I don't see them winning. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, but I like the desire. And I wonder how much this desire for the white belt, you know, a desire to win the Cinderella, only to be usurped first by Starlight Kid and then by Hannon, and then a loss here against Crazy Star. I wonder what that will do to Hazuki and if we'll see her, if we see some sort of character development as a part of that, because I'd be very, very intrigued to see what will happen there. Also coming out of the shows, we have new Artist of Stardom Championship challengers as well. Mayu Iwatani, Hannon and Saya Iida challenging the EXV team of Maika Minashirakawa and Xena as well on the Monday show, the 29th of May. EXV have officially agreed to that. So we have got three shows coming up, as I mentioned before, a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We start in Yamaguchi on Friday, which is Mayu Iwatani's hometown, where she will team, according to Sky Wrestling, with the pair for the first time since September 22nd, 2020. So just under 4 years, where they will face Maika Mina and Hanako. And it has been announced that solely for Mayu's entrance, we will be getting streamers back. And of course, that does mean, Matt, the return of the Mayu Tornado, which is both beautiful and terrifying in its recklessness.
That might be the best way to describe Mayu Iwatani as a wrestler. Is beautiful and reckless, and female Ricky Steamboat. I guess those would be the two sentences that if anybody said, sell me Mayu Iwatani as a wrestler, I think those would be the two things that that I would say. They did this, I think, last year for Mayu Iwatani's hometown return match, and I believe a Wedo Tai spoiled the party by jumping for Mayu and the other members of Stars, so hopefully that won't happen here. They should bring streamers. Streamers are so awesome. They really should bring streamers back. We see it all the time when we do the alternate commentaries, especially at the Korakuen shows when they throw the streamers. It's something that adds to the pageantry, the beginning of the match. It just goes to show how important this match is. I would love to see them bring streamers back full time. But a lot of really good cards coming up for Stardom. And considering the fact, again, that Starlight Kid is on the opposite end of a lot of these Oedo Tai matches and she's teaming with a lot of members of Cosmic Angels, it's really shaking things up as we're building toward that big, big Flashing Championship, Flashing Champions card in just a matter of a few weeks. So, yeah, really interesting stuff. And please start and bring back streamers full time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things about Japanese wrestling as a whole, not just Stardom. So those cards, as I mentioned, so the Yamaguchi card, we have got Hannon versus Rani Agami, Saya Iida versus Sayaka Karora, Suyori Konami and Saki Kashima of God's Eye taking on the EXV team of Xena Wax Tsukiyama and Rian, not a member of EXV, but there we are. We've also got the team of Suzu Suzuki, Mei Seira, and Miyu Amasaki versus the Stars team of Hazuki, Koguma, and Momokogo. Saya Kamatani, Azumi, and Lady C versus Sayori Anno, Yuna Mizumori, and Aya Sakura versus Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, and Tekla. We did see a little bit of teasing of Tekla following through on a threat of destroying idols as she went head-to-head with Tam. The Wonder of Stardom Championship number one contender match will be on Friday in Yamaguchi with Amisori taking on Natsupoi. The winner of that match will face Sayori Anno at Flashing Champions on the 15th of May. And then we've got Mayu Iwatani, Starlight Kid, and Tam Nakano in the main event together taking on the EXV team of Maika, Mina Shirakawa, and Hanako. Matt, what are you looking forward to on that card, my friend?
A lot of stuff looks really, really good. Again, the fact that we have a lot of these multi-person matches, again, mixing up with Starlight Kid on the opposite end, it does seem like we have a lot with more of Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, whether it's in straight-up tags or it's the six-person or the eight-person. So you wonder if they're going to build them up to a tag title match somewhere down the line. And I also noticed that Suzu Suzuki and Mei Sarin, some of these multi-person matches, are slotted once again with the members of Queen's Quest. So again, Rob, it's no secret to anybody that I love Queen's Quest. They're my favorite faction in all of wrestling. And with the absence of Utami Hayashista, maybe, just maybe, fingers crossed that Suzu Suzuki and Mei Sarah will finally find a faction in one Queen's Quest. We shall see. That's another interesting thing that that may be developing in Stardom. So not only great matches, but really good storylines happening in all these shows, not just the pay-per-views, not just the live streams, but the, as I guess we're calling them, Stardom World shows as well. So yeah, really, really fun stuff. But how about you, my man? What matches and what matchups are you looking forward to on that show?
So obviously, you know, you're looking forward to the main event. It's going to be a special match. Obviously, it's always really special when Mayu returns to Yamaguchi. And especially even more so now with the imminent release of her film. I'm looking forward to the number one contender match. I think Amisori has proved that she can perform when she's given that tap on the shoulder. However, this is Natsupoi's time to shine. Absolutely. Especially as it's almost a year to the day she challenged for the Wonder of Stardom Championship against Mina Shirakawa. I'm actually quite excited for Suzu Suzuki, Mei Sarah, and Miyu Amasaki versus Hazuki Kogamura and Momo Kogo, just to see Suzu Suzuki and Hazuki again, just because they enjoy beating the ever-loving hell out of each other. Plus, Mei Sarah versus Kogamura. Kogamura showed us at that pay-per-view on Saturday that she shouldn't just be written off as a pure comedy wrestler. She is still the high-speed genius, and there is a reason that she's been given that moniker. So keep an eye on that, because it wouldn't surprise me if we see a Kogamura high-speed challenge very, very soon. We have a show on Saturday as well, and that card is as follows: Sayori versus Aya Sakura, Saki Kashima versus Hanako versus Rian, Mayu Iwatani, Hanan, and Momo Kogo versus Konami, Amisori, and Rani Yagami. EXV team of Mike and Mina Shirakawa, Zena and Wakasukiyama versus Saya Kamatani, Azumi, Lady C, and Miyu Amasaki. The stars team of Hazuki Kogama and Saya Ida will take on the team of Suzu Suzuki, Mei Sarah, and Sayaka Karori. In your semi-main event, Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, and Starlight Kid take on the Ueda Tai team of Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, and Tekla. And then in your main event, it looks like it is an all Cosmic Angels clash as Sayori Anno takes on Yuna Mizumori in singles action. A solid card, Matt. Unfortunately, you'll notice that Ruaka is missing from these cards. She ended up injuring, I believe, her arm, and it was in a sling during the post-match interviews. I don't know anything other than that. I believe it was during a beatdown of Starlight Kid that she ended up injuring her arm, but obviously she doesn't appear to be on these cards, and fingers crossed it's not a serious injury. But there we are. So, Matt, what are you looking forward to on that card?
Good on Rani Yagami and Yuna Mizumori getting big spotlights against main eventers. You know, I think that Rana versus Sherry singles match is going to be hard hitting. Rana, ever since Yuzuki left to go to Marigold, you're kind of looking at this newer class of rookies that have come in over the last 12 to 18 months. And for my money, as great as Saka Karora has been, I'm just a huge fan of Rana Yagami, not mainly because she works a very Sherry style, the kicks, the submissions, where she's been able to put them in. And you sell to me almost every week of how great of a drummer she is. So I still need to check that out.
You do.
And again, Yuna Mizumori, I do. I'm a metal guy. I'm a metal guy. Iron Maiden all the way. obviously I've been singing Yuna Mizumori's praises for a long time now, just, you know, how she's been able to transform her body. She's putting in the work in the ring and in the gym as well. Again, she's the most improved wrestler in all of wrestling the last year for me. The fact that she looks like she's getting probably a main event single spot against Saori Anu, the current Wonder of Stardom champion, and definitely somebody that can main event any show. That'll be really good. Then, of course, we do have the Ueda Tai versus Cosmic Angels plus Starlight Kid match. As great as that match is going to be, it definitely has, and unless it goes the old TLD or gets thrown out for like excessive violence, it's got to end with a big Tekla something. Either whether she's getting the win or she gets the majority of the beatdown if it goes in the time limit draw. But it definitely has to be a match where Tekla gets raised up. She's cutting great promos since she's been back. She's a main focal point as far as being, you know, a vicious and violent heel. So a lot of really good stuff on the card, but really that's nice to see that Ron and Yuna are going to be getting kind of a big spotlight in this match or in the show. And then again, with the Cosmic Angels versus Ueda Tai. And again, it's a completely different look of what these factions were a week ago, considering the fact that Cosmic Angels kind of have Starlight Kid and Ueda Tai has Tekla. So again, it's a little bit of shakeup of these factions, which is going to create fresh and interesting matchups up and down the card.
And then the pay-per-view card for Fukuoka on the 5th of May, which is Sunday, is as follows. Waka Tsukiyama versus Aya Sakura. Konami versus Yuna Mizumori versus Hanako. Azumi and Miyu Amasaki versus Natsupoi and Sayaka Karora. That could be very exciting. Sayaka Matani and Lady C versus Amisori and Saki Kashima. Sayori Anu, Starlight Kid and Tam Nakano versus Natsukatora, Momo Watanabe and Tekla. And then the card is, of course, main evented by those two title matches. Artist of Stardom Champions Championships on the line. The champions, Mike and Mina Shirakawa and Zena, taking on the challengers, Mayu Iwatani, Hanan, and Koguma. And then in your main event, the Goddesses of Stardom Championship, Suzu Suzuki and Mei Sei were the champions, defending against FWC, Hazuki, and Koguma in their hometown, looking to be the first ever three-time Goddesses of Stardom champions. Matt, obviously, title matches. I don't see any titles changing hands here. Am I just being a negative Nancy, or do we think that we are going to have the same champions coming out of this show?
I think we're going to have the same champions come out of this show. If anybody's going to win, it's going to be FWC because it's in their hometown. But I just think they're really starting to put a lot of steam behind Mei and Suzu Suzuki. They just won those belts not that long ago, I believe at the end of March. So, you know, about 5 weeks ago. And I'd like to see them have a long run. But at the same time, you can send everybody home happy with an FWC hometown win and then maybe flip the belts back at Flashing Champions coming up in a couple weeks. You can do that very much kind of like, again, what they did back in 2022 with Black Desire, Starlight Kid and Momo and FWC. So either way, that's fine because both teams are great. All four wrestlers are great. So that match is going to be fantastic. It really seems like Stardom is just head and shoulders above when it comes to tag team wrestling, is head and shoulders above every other wrestling company. And the fact that these last two matches, we're getting two different styles of tag matches, you know, the six person for the artist and then the main event for the straight up tag for the Goddess of Stardom Championship. Now you can kind of see why they held off, you know, not doing this last week at All-Star Grand Queen, and because they want to do this proper in the main event where it's going to sell the most tickets and where it's going to mean the most amount because it's the last match that you're going to see. So yeah, those two matches will be interesting. The rest of the card looks pretty solid, but for my money, where this card is going to be really, really good is those last three matches. Again, with Starlight Kid teaming up with Cosmic Angels to take on, you know, the former members of Ueda Tai, and then those last two championship matches.
Final couple of things that we want to go through. I mean, we've still gone an hour and 8 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, so hopefully we'll reach an hour and 15. Hopefully that's a little bit of a bite-sized Stardom cast for you. But what was announced as something we didn't cover was the announcement of the card of Bloodsport Bushido, which is, of course, Josh Barnett's show in collaboration with GCW. That's going to be taking place on the 22nd of June in Ryogoku, Kakugikan again. And the reason we bring that up is that Konami was announced on the card, and she's been announced against Maya Fukuda. Just to give you a little bit more of an idea of the card, we have got Fuminori Abe versus Yu Iizuka, Eric Hammer versus Mike O'Hearn, Hikaru Saito versus Hideki Suzuki, Takuya Nomura taking on Todd Duffy, the aforementioned Konami versus Maya Fukuda match, Davey Boy Smith Jr. taking on Masakatsu Funaki, Santino Marella versus Kazushi Sakuraba, Rampage Jackson, versus Hideki Sakin, Minoru Suzuki versus Timothy Thatcher, yes please, and then finally Josh Barnett versus John Moxley in what I imagine will be your main event. Matt Turner, I imagine this is all sorts of your jam, am I right?
1000%, my man. I am super excited. Again, I love the UWF style, shoot style, you know, rings, catch stuff like that. I absolutely love that. Again, I have seen every single one. Oh, actually, you know, I have not finished Josh Barnett's Bloodsport from WrestleMania weekend from when we weren't there because the Stardom card was the same time as Bloodsport. But I love it. I love the fact they take the ropes off. I love this shoot style of professional wrestling. I am fully aware this is not for everyone. Again, I mentioned Andy Hedder a lot on this podcast. Me and him have a lot in common, especially when it comes to professional wrestling. He doesn't really care too much for the shoot style. Pro wrestling, I love it. And this card is insane. And that, you know, obviously this is a Stardom podcast. The reason why we're bringing up this card is that Konami, who is now back full time to Stardom, is on this card. And that's going to be good for her because there's going to be a lot of eyes on this show. The main event, you have John Moxley, main eventer, you know, former WWE world champion, former AEW world champion, the current New Japan heavyweight champion, taking on Josh Barnett, who is not only a legend in catch wrestling and in MMA, but a legend in Pride. And Pride was the biggest shoot fight company in the history of Japanese sports. It was a legend over in Pride and was actually the youngest UFC heavyweight champion. So you have that main event. And then you have Quentin Rampage Jackson. Now, again, for those who don't know, Quentin Rampage Jackson is a former UFC light heavyweight champion. He defeated and knocked out the unknockoutable Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell will probably go down as one of, if not the most beloved fighters in the history of MMA. And Chuck Liddell, there's always a couple great things about him. Is one, you couldn't knock him out because he had an iron chin and you couldn't take him down. And Rampage Jackson was able to knock out Chuck Liddell and basically break that iron chin. And Rampage Jackson is an absolute legend in the land of the rising sun. So the fact that he's like competing, and I don't think he's had an MMA fight in like 3 or 4 years. Like, I think the guy's in his mid 40s, you know, made his money, has got a really, really good podcast. So the fact that he's competing on this card, as well as Mike O'Hearn. Now, if you take a look at that picture of Mike O'Hearn, he looks like a model. He was a former bodybuilder. And for us kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s, he was on American Gladiators as Titan. So the fact that they got like this model type guy, stunt double type guy to compete in Bloodsport is absolutely insane. And then you throw in Davey Boy Smith Jr. I think everybody knows who he is, against Masahito Funaki started Pancrase with Minoru Suzuki, both trained by Carl Gotch. Obviously, we have Suzuki and Timothy Thatcher, and then Santino Marella, who I remember I was talking to you about this. He's like, that one really shocked me. Santino Marella obviously comes across as a comedic character because that's what he was in WWE. A legit badass shooter, you know, jiu-jitsu. I think he's a black belt in judo, and then he is taking on on Sakuraba, right?
He is indeed.
Yeah, the Gracie Hunter, the Gracie Killer. And again, another Pride legend. Sakuraba, back at, I believe it was Wrestle Kingdom 7, had this really, really good Intercontinental Championship match with IWGP Intercontinental Championship match with Shinsuke Nakamura. So Sakuraba is one of the best shoot style pro wrestlers of all time that can still go. Obviously, Sakuraba was trained by Billy Robinson and is very well loved in the catch community. So, yes, my friend, I am super pumped for the show. I will more than likely be watching this live as it happened. The fact that it's taking place in a legendary venue like Sumo Hall, and this is Josh Barnett's first venture into doing the blood sport, his blood sport promotion over in Japan. Yeah, I am all for this. And good on Konami. And hopefully if this is a good experience for Konami, we shall see one Shuri and a future blood sport Bushido show. I really hope so, because Josh Barnett has been able to pull all sorts of strings over the past few months. Shayna Baszler and Masa Slamovich. I was able to see that was one of the best matches WrestleMania weekend, this past WrestleMania weekend. So really good on Josh. Really good for this card, and I cannot wait to watch it.
I knew when it was announced that you would be incredibly into this match. And it did make me laugh thinking, Matt's going to absolutely love this. And I knew you'd watch it live as well. So hopefully it does not disappoint. Finally, on the 29th of April, the Monday, Mae Sayre actually took part in the Corrigan Hall Diana show. Which drew 781 people. She was in the main event challenging for Haruka Umasaki's World Women Pro Wrestling Diana World Championship. In a losing effort, ultimately, Haruka Umasaki successfully retained, achieving her fifth successful title defense in 15 minutes and 29 seconds. She's currently held that belt for just over a year as well, so a really long reign for Haruka Umasaki. Just to give you an idea of who else was on this card, we had Jagi Yokota and Venny defeating Miran and Risa Sayre. We had Aja Kong on there. We had Chihiro Hashimoto. We had Kaori Oniyama losing in a three-way for the World Women Pro Wrestling Diana Queen Elizabeth title, with the champion Shin Sakura defeating her and Himiko. And we also had Unagi Sayaka teaming with Misa Kagura in a losing effort for the tag titles as well. I'm looking forward to seeing that, Matt. Haven't had a chance to seek it out yet, though.
You know, sorry not to put you on the spot, do you know how one would go about watching that Umasaki versus Mae Sayre match?
I do not, I'm afraid.
Well, if anybody knows, let us know.
Absolutely. Would love to talk about this match. And finally, final thing, Matt, because yes, there may have been no show reviews, but there's still an Io and Kairi watch to talk about.
Yeah, man, and there was so much of Io and Kairi to talk about that it'll take us past the 2 hours. No, it won't. Anyway, so we go to this Friday on SmackDown. We do have the draft that happened on Friday for SmackDown and Monday for Raw. So Bianca Belair comes out to do a promo to start hyping up the tag title match with her and Jade Cargill challenging this Sunday. This Saturday at Backlash. Boy, we got a lot of wrestling this weekend against Kairi and Asuka for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. But halfway through Bianca's promo, Kairi and Asuka come out again. They're doing this promo in the middle of the aisleway. It looks like there's going to be a 2-on-1 beatdown on Bianca until Jade Cargill comes out, and then basically the four girls just have a shouting match, and that is our last pretty much hype as we go into this Saturday. Again, this Saturday there will be a little bit more Kairi watch next week, because we'll have a pay-per-view to talk about. Once again, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus the Kabuki Warriors of Asuka and Kairi. I'm super excited for that match, because obviously Kairi and Asuka are terrific. Jade Cargill is very good in the spots that she does. They do a great job of hiding her weaknesses and exploiting her strengths, and the fact that Bianca Belair is on her team, who I've said it on this podcast a zillion times, I'm just a huge, huge fan of everything that she does. So that was SmackDown, and then we go to Monday Night Raw. We go to the draft, and I was a little worried about the draft, because I'm like, are they going to split this group up? Because this group with Dakota, Asuka, Kairi, and Io is absolutely fantastic. But no, they didn't. They're actually drafted in the first round of Monday Night Raw. So on Monday Night Raw, the damage control team of Dakota Kai, Kairi, Io, and Asuka will be there, I believe, starting next Monday. So that was the draft. However, we were not done with Io and Kairi Wash on this show, because they showed the new WWE Women's Raw Champion Becky Lynch, who won the belt after Rhea Ripley suffered a shoulder injury. She was walking backstage, and then all four members of Damage Control came up to her. Io really eyed up Becky's belt, and then at the very end, Kairi walked by and grabbed Becky's belt, and then Becky said, "Hey, Kairi, don't touch my belt." So it's a possibility, Mr. Rob Goodwin. I really think that Kairi and Asuka dropping the belts this Sunday, I would not be shocked if we see a little bit of a program with Becky Lynch and Kyrie that eventually leads to a Becky Lynch versus EO program. So I'm hoping that's what we get. I'm hoping we get Becky as the champion as we're waiting for Rhea Ripley to come back. So we get that main event probably at SummerSlam. That's going to draw all sorts of money. It'd be nice to see that Becky has a little bit of a program with Dakota, one with Asuka, one with EO, and one with Kyrie. So I'm hoping that's what happens because Becky Lynch is a big, big star in the WWE's eyes. And she be getting great matches out of those four. So, yeah, my man, that was all EO Kyrie watch. But I do kind of want to say real quick that the last person picked in the draft going to SmackDown was Blair Davenport, better known to us Stardom fans as B. Priestley. And I think that was really, really cool that Blair Davenport will be on Friday night SmackDown on a big network like Fox. So good on her. I've always been a fan of her stuff in Stardom. I know when I first got into Stardom a couple years ago, people didn't really care too much for her World of Stardom championship run. And then on the Patreon, when I started doing these retrospectives, I went and watched her World of Stardom run. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought her matches with Momo, Tommy, obviously the match she loses the belt to Mayu, all those matches were really good. Her match with Kagetsu when she wins the belt, I thought they were really, really good and very underrated. She's a great tag wrestler. Obviously, she had that tag run with Jamie Hayter. She had the tag run with Kunami when they're both members of a Wedo tie. I'm a huge fan of one Blair Davenport / B. Priestley, even to the point, Mr. Rob Goodwin, if you remember, for Christmas a couple years ago, I got Rob a cameo from one Blair Davenport. Now, if you've never done a cameo before, basically you go on the website, you choose who you want. There's 1,000 people you can choose from. And then in the description box, you put who you want. At this point, she's wrestling for NXT WWE. She's under her name, Blair Davenport. And I literally just put in the thing, my friend Rob is a big fan of your work in Stardom. She really liked your matches with Mayu, Momo, and Utami. And correct me if I'm wrong, buddy, I think she did the whole entire thing as Blair Davenport, as B. Priestley, not Blair Davenport, which I thought was really, really cool that she just kept her cameo and her Christmas wishes to Rob all Stardom based. So that always wins certain things with me. It's why whenever there's certain wrestlers I meet that are really, really nice to me, I like, and certain wrestlers that were mean that I really, really dislike, and I hold a grudge. And if you wonder what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the live Stardom cast and you'll understand why I do not like the Big Show. Another story for another day, my man, but good on Monday Night Raw getting Damage Control, and congratulations to the former goddess and World of Stardom champion, Blair Davenport / B. Priestley, of landing a spot on WWE SmackDown.
I have no idea how you have still managed to get a Big Show reference in the podcast. I'm actually relatively impressed with how you've managed to get that in. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that just about brings us up to date with everything. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that it is a lot shorter than other, than our other podcasts, but we will be back bigger and better than ever. Obviously Matt will be doing the next couple on his own, so please be patient with the Patreon and things like that. Hopefully I'll be back on the 15th, fingers crossed. But in the meantime, thank you so much for all your support. If you haven't already, if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would really, really help. We're on Spotify as well, all your podcast platforms. If you want to leave us a rating on the platform of your choice, that would be great. You can also check us out on social media at The Stardom Cast. You can find me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin as well. Talk about the website, www.thestardomcast.com. Lots of cool little changes coming up on there as well in the near future. You can also join our Patreon, patreon.com/ The Stardom Cast, where you can get these shows early, ad free, for as little as $1 a month. We massively appreciate the support of all of our patrons. Honestly, you are all absolutely incredible. We love every single one of you. And yes, Matt Turner, sounds off good, sir.
Absolutely. So if you did not get enough of us over the past few weeks, this Wednesday, the 8th of May, you can find us on Talk is Jericho, as Rob and I recorded last week with Chris Jericho. Once again, talking all things Stardom, a little bit of AEW and Marigold as well. So again, thanks to Chris and his team for having us on. And from what I understand, that episode will air coming up on Wednesday, May the 8th. And again, we greatly appreciate your support. We have not gotten back on that show if it wasn't for your fantastic support. So really, really looking forward to hearing everybody's feedback as myself and one Mr. Goodwin going back on Talk is Jericho. Folks, questions, comments, anything you need from me, Matt Turner, OF, on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. You want to shoot me an email, that's perfectly fine as well. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fun-filled episode. And like Rob just said about a minute ago, that I'm going to be pretty much doing all of the podcast stuff over the next week or two. So please be patient with me as we're going to try to get everything out on time, especially those alternate commentaries, because I know it could be a little bit of a doozy trying to get up the video feed. So just bear with us. We will get it up. We promise. And the fact that Rob is having better internet. So I'm super excited for that, my man. So, you know, sometimes you got to take one step back to take two steps forward. And that's what you're doing, my friend. So when everybody gets a chance, congratulate Rob on having working internet, because that's a really big, big deal.
Don't jinx it.
We'll be back to AOL dial-up. Anywho, folks, that's gonna do it for this episode. Because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast, because we're all together and everybody's different. Everybody's special.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.